This is Catherine, and I am very excited to announce our wonderful bonus seminar with Carol Allen, Ancient Vedic Rituals and Remedies to Jumpstart Your Love Life. And I am thrilled to have acclaimed Vedic astrologer Carol Allen with us tonight. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Catherine, honey. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you
I'm
so
really
much.
happy to have you here and to be able to share you with everyone. I will. I just want to introduce you a little bit before I turn over the microphone here. I have been a personal friend. I have considered myself very fortunate to call Carol my personal friend for the last several years. She is one of the smartest women in the dating space, and
Oh.
she bridges the gap between the kind of ethereal, woo-woo, astrological stuff and deep, practical, grounded wisdom. So you're going to love hearing her talk about these ancient Vedic rituals and remedies in only the way that Carol can. So Carol, just to give you a little background on her, is a happily married Vedic astrologer and relationship coach. She has a deep devotion and mission to empower women to truly enjoy out of this world love. She's been featured on E, on Extra, on Dr. Drew's Life Changers. She's been featured in the Chicken for the Soul series, Women's World, Daily Candy, and she is the author herself of Love is in the Stars, The Wise Woman's Astrological Guide to Men. So her techniques really are a blend of the East and the West. So she's done real world relationship research. She's super intelligent in how she comes at everything. And she also understands astrology from an Indian perspective. So whether you're looking for that soulmate love right now, whether you just want to understand more about yourself so that you can clear your old obstacles to love, Carol's going to weave it all together for us and make sense of everything tonight and really have you anchored into your magical power to be able to create the love that you're standing for having. So welcome, Carol.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I don't know if I'm going to be able to walk through my doorway with my head so big now. I'm
You
going
know,
to
but it's just who you are. You don't even have to try at this point. By the way,
Aw.
Love is in the Stars is Carol's brand. But
Thank you.
we're here to have a lot of fun together tonight, Carol. We're going to be talking.
Yay.
Really, I think this is just the sweet spot of the program here, where we just get to talk about these love mantras and blessing ceremonies and cleansing rituals and all of that. So, why don't you just, share about how you learned about this and what your orientation to all of it is, so we can just get a sense of you.
Gosh, well, I had the craziest childhood. I had a stockbroker father and a secretary mother, but who looked completely normal, right? But there were always psychics at the house, and my dad had healer friends, and I used to get automatically written channeled birthday cards from Saint Germain. Like, it was a crazy 70s hippie kind of time. And my parents' friends would always look at me and they would say, "Ah, she's one of us." And I was always like, "Ew, no way. I'm going to be a ballerina." Like, I didn't want anything to do with it. But meanwhile, at 16, my father was on the board of directors of a metaphysical university, and he sent me to San Francisco once a week to learn like eight kinds of meditation. And so I started
My
astral
gosh.
projecting, I started having psychic dreams, and then I went off to UC Berkeley, where I studied psychology and sociology. And my chiropractor introduced me to an Indian guru who happened to be the same one in Eat, Pray, Love, who you don't actually meet in Eat, Pray, Love.
Oh, seriously, that's wild.
I actually met
Wow.
her, and so I had this whole crazy, amazing spiritual opening. And I came to LA because I had no idea what I was doing with my life, and my sister was here. And I came to LA at the ripe old age of 23, and I remember I had a blind date with a guy, and he said to me, oh my God, there are Indian mandalas all over your energy. Why? And I said, wow, that's cool. I don't know. It might be because of this meditation I've been doing and this yoga teacher and this Hindu master, and I don't know. And I had a very similar story to Ariel Ford, where I wrote the Indian guru a letter. You know, she whispered in Amma's ear, in Amachi, the Indian guru, for a husband. Mm-hmm. And within a year, you know, a year later, Amachi married Ariel and Brian. Well, I wrote this woman a letter and mailed the letter on Friday saying, help me find love, help me open my heart. And on Sunday, I met my husband. Okay, so a whopping 2 days later, and I hadn't had a boyfriend in 7 years. I mean, it was like insane. And so so I just have this crazy background. And so when I tripped over an Indian astrologer, also at the age of 23, and had a reading that was so profound and so helpful, I was totally primed to just jump right in. So that's kind of what happened.
Wow, that's pretty fascinating. So,
I started studying with him, and then I went to school for it, and then next thing you know, some of the greatest astrologers in the United States became best friends and started giving me computers and books, and it just was such an effortless golden path. There was only one school in the U.S. for this kind of astrology, and it was 6 blocks from where I was living. I mean, the whole thing was nuts. And I started giving readings to friends and friends of friends and mothers of friends, and pretty soon the phone just wouldn't stop. And I was my own best customer first, too, because, of course, my love life sucked, and I was totally a spiritual seeker, and I was really struggling. And that first reading that I had with that first teacher totally nailed my whole life and told me when love would come and told me when I would get married and gave me things to do to feel better in the meantime. And it was all just so incredibly helpful that I immediately abandoned everything else I was pursuing and just dove straight into this. Oh. And that was a really long time ago. That was 26 years ago. So,
Well, you know, it's interesting, even listening to your story, because I know that this is an issue for many people here. And you and I have had this conversation before. You know, what we're doing here at Calling in the One is we're standing for creating love. And in a way, that's what you did in your way when you wrote that letter to the guru.
Right.
And it's inside
that stand. I made that
internal
commitment. Right.
Right. You got congruent with that future, and that future rushed to you. Yet at the same time, you're talking about having a reading where someone is saying that there's a time for love, and this is when it will happen. You know, and I think that tension between when it's meant to be and how much power we have to, you know, to meet that date with destiny, or to move that date with destiny closer.
Well, what was so crazy is the person I met showed up 7 years before the prediction, right? So it was right guy, wrong time, because when I had that first reading, I said to him, oh, well, I have this amazing boyfriend that I really love. Could it be him? And he said, I don't see how, because your 20s are just drama and turbulence for love. And you're only 23, and I don't see you getting married until 30. And so what was crazy is my husband and I, as often soulmates do, you know, we had to go through our stuff, right? Because nothing will trigger your stuff like a big love, right? Especially if you're young and undeveloped. So we had all our stuff come up like crazy, and we didn't have the tools to handle it. And that's where the man stuff, you know, the laws of man are so important, where I jokingly refer to it as the will and grace of love. The will of love is the part where you can learn how to be the best you possible. You can get all the training. You can learn how to communicate. You can be your best you. You can consciously develop the parts of you that need developing and overcome bad habits and, you know, choose to be the best you possible. Well, that's very third-dimensional stuff. But then there's the grace, which is you also then have to have somebody you want to do all that with. And you have to actually be compatible, and it has to be time. So my husband and I had great compatibility, and he was the right person, but neither one of us was really ready, and I wasn't in a marriage season. And so we broke up. We dated for 3 turbulent years, broke up for 4 years, and then boom, on schedule, he came back and said everything out of the movies. And it was so funny because I'd known this timing for 7 years, and so I'd been envisioning, well, it must be someone new, right? So when he came back and said everything out of the movies, I said, "Aw, I'm so sorry. I'm getting married this year, but, you know, I mean, we can hang out again. You were the great love of my life, and I have missed you, you know, but I totally thought it would be somebody else, you know." So, oh, it was hilarious. So anyway, that's the other piece of it is, I did take that stand, but I did also have a lot of growing to do.
Yeah. Well, and I like that you used the word season for love, and we were just talking as a community a little bit and touching. We had a coaching call on Tuesday where we were talking about seasons for love and recognizing that sometimes when you're in those times where you're just not feeling like it's the right time, they're the best times to be working on yourself and preparing, and almost like to think of it almost like as a fallow period, and a lot happens in a fallow period, and fallow periods are necessary to the growth of a fertile crop that comes afterwards. So it's
beautiful.
The relationship that we have to that too. So okay, we got it.
I love the analogy of bamboo. You know, it takes 7 years for the root system to develop, but then it grows like a foot a day. It just like shoots up. So sometimes people's root systems are developing and you can't see it because it's such an under the surface process. But then
beautiful.
When they're ready, yeah.
Okay. So we get that you are more than qualified to be teaching us about love mantras that can evoke magic. Everyone's on the edge of their seat, Carol.
Oh,
so really,
cute.
I mean, people are here. Listen, this group that you're talking to right now is a pretty high-level group. These are people.
Yeah, you were bragging. She was bragging to me about you all, ladies. I heard you're super fabulous. So.
Yeah, and there's some gentlemen here, too, who are also
nice.
Pretty amazing and
very advanced,
powerful.
Involved men.
It's
love
an
it.
Advanced group. It's an advanced group. People are doing their work, and they're really having extraordinary breakthroughs, and they're sharing about them. On our online learning
well, you
community.
Know, for years, Catherine, I've been hearing from calling in the one graduates. I mean, for years, I have talked to so many of your people, and all they do is rave and tell me how much things have shifted. I've met so many women that credit you with their marriages, and whenever I tell people that I actually know you, they get, like, apoplectic. It's so fun. So anyway, thanks for making me look good.
Oh, sweet. Thank you, Carol.
But yeah, I really congratulate anyone that's here because you're the real thing, and the work that you're doing is so important. It's all that preparation, and it's all that really marrying yourself and letting go of shame and letting go of the past and really creating the stepping into the future you want. And it's such high-level Jedi stuff, and I've learned so much from you. And I'm so glad you're on the planet doing what you're doing. And it's so aligned with the topic we're talking about today. And, you know, even though I've been on this path such a long time, please, I'm always so awed and humbled to be in any way a mouthpiece for this kind of conversation or this kind of subject material because it's so profound. I mean, it is so profound. It is an ocean. And I have like a little thimbleful for everybody today. And I have a dear friend that is from a family that's got a 7,000-year lineage in India. His great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great- than exercise. Exercise is like 10% yoga, but yoga is like the Tao. It's like a whole way of being and way of thinking. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about, because astrology is all predicated on the notion that everything is vibrational, right? Everything is energy, much like quantum physics. I mean, I don't know quantum physics at all. I failed physics for poets, so I can't be a mouthpiece for physics either. But it's predicated on the notion that you have a soul, there's a plan for your life, and there is an energetic, almost like train you're on, and you can dramatically up-level what car on the train you're on, and you can help the train have a much smoother journey by doing things that actually, forgive the New Age mumbo-jumbo language, but that actually lift your frequency, if you will, that actually shift your energy. And doing things to improve and increase your energy and your energy field and your chakras and all that stuff, I don't know why this works, but it works. So if everybody could just suspend any disbelief or any yeah buts or any, you know, any third-dimensional questioning, and just go with me here, because I have story after story after story. But one of the things that we do as Vedic astrologers is we bring this whole remedial side of what ancient India has to offer. And there are several categories of this, and they can absolutely be used for all areas of life, not just love, but I have seen them be really beautiful for love. So if anyone on this call has a deep longing or is feeling a deep, you know, calling around love or a deep yearning for love, what these practices or these remedies can do is they can take away some of the pain of that. Because sometimes when we have a yearning and a calling, but we don't have the present situation that would scratch that itch, so to speak, it can be painful, right? It can be painful. But at the same time, you want to claim and own the thing that you want to call it in, right? To use your language, right? So it's very important to own the thing that you want and to admit to yourself. I mean, you and I know, Catherine, because we've worked with so many people, people are afraid to even say what they want and to even admit to themselves the great dreams that they have, because it's been painful, right? I mean, I'm sure you experienced
it. I was just writing about this right before we hopped on the call, because we're going to be talking about it on Saturday, actually.
Okay, well, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Our next classroom.
We'll meet a client or somebody that wants to take a program, and we'll say, oh, well, and what is it you want in your life? And they say, oh, you know, just somebody to go to the movies with. I just want companionship. You know, I don't have to have, like, that full commitment. I mean, I don't have to get married, or I don't have to. And when you dig a little deeper, what that's really usually about is they're trying to inoculate themselves from disappointment. So they're trying to just say, oh, it's okay if I just find somebody to have fun with, or if I just have, you know, companionship, because they can't envision something incredible, like full alignment, full partnership, full soulmate stuff, right? Because they've been hurt, and that hope has turned around on them and become disappointing, right? And so So what we first have to do is get everybody to remember, what is it you really want? If you knew you couldn't fail, right, that question we all have heard a million times, if you knew you couldn't fail, if you knew there really were no limits, what would you want? And it's okay, and not only is it okay to want what you want, it's actually required. Because if you don't own that glorious, true vision that is really your soul's calling and yearning and longing and desiring, if you don't really own it, you'll say yes to something less. And you'll get stuck in the muck of something way less, right? And if you can't envision it, it's very hard to recognize it, too. Or if you're envisioning, somebody to hang out with, and here comes, like, the true love, you're going to push them away, right? Or you're going to screw it up. What were you going to say?
So is this leading into the creation of a love mantra?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because the way that we were talking about it in our dialogue and where we are in the course right now has to do with, we've identified the false love identity, that false sense of self that comes up, or it's kind of, particularly in the face of a disappointment, you know, the I'm alone story or the I'm not good enough story, and how we'll return to it as a home base. And if you're centered there, you cannot feel your desires for love because it's agony.
Right.
And so we get people, we get us all lined up with the deeper truth where we can feel the truth of our worthiness to be loved, and we can feel the power that we're holding to create a miracle in our love lives, an opening, a profound healing, a transformation. And from there, we can start to feel into the deeper desires that we're holding as though desire were pleasurable, as though it were a part of the creative process of life, and we're co-creating with the energies of life instead of the desire that we're holding. Yeah. So the love mantra is, am I catching this right, that this is emergent from that state?
Well, any of the remedies you do, it's just if you hold an intention of what you want, it's how to work with the remedy itself. So one of the categories of remedies is mantras. And this is actually my favorite. And mantras are essentially affirmations. But what is really special about the mantras from ancient India is they're in Sanskrit, which is the language of ancient India. And we actually have words that are from Sanskrit. Karma is a word from Sanskrit. Hora, H-O-R-A, is very close to our, which is a word from Sanskrit. Upa is where we get the word up. But Sanskrit is the ancient language of India, and it's believed that the words actually contain the vibration of the thing you're saying. So when you say the word apple in Sanskrit, it actually has the same frequency as an apple. So when you say a mantra in Sanskrit for love, it actually has more power to open your heart and heal your heart and help you magnetize love to you than if you did it in English. This is what I'm told. This is what experts, I interviewed a man and met a man and took workshops with a man several times that unfortunately is no longer with us, but his name was Thomas Ashley Ferrand, and he has a website at sanskritmantra.com, which is S-A-N-S-K-R-I-T-M-A-N-T-R-A, sanskritmantra.com. And he said this. He said there's a vibrational frequency in Sanskrit that has this extra power. Because I love affirmations too, and I always say, you know, I win often and I win big. People love to give me money. You know, I love that stuff.
I'm a money magnet, right?
Yeah, right. I used to say money is flying at me from all directions, and I swear to God, within 2 months of saying that, everybody gave me plane tickets. It was the craziest thing.
Oh, that's crazy. Every time
I went flying with these free plane tickets, they'd say, just for today, you got bumped to, you know, you get an extra free flight on your frequent flyer. And I'd say, well, I have to take 4 more flights to get the free one. And they'd say, not today. I mean, it was the craziest thing. So I have had English affirmations, you know, mantras in English be unbelievable too. But I absolutely love the Sanskrit ones because they also kind of hypnotize you. So the idea behind mantras, what I loved about Thomas Ashley Ferrand is he was a very easygoing guy. And Hinduism, much like Catholicism and much like, you know, Judaism, any old religion can get very rigorous and dogmatic and rules-oriented. And so when you talk to swamis or teachers of this Indian stuff, they will often get very into the rules. Like, oh, you can only chant in the morning between 3 and 5 a.m., and you have to sit facing this direction, and you have to say it 108 times, and blah, blah, blah. And Thomas Ashley Ferrand was also a Vedic priest. And he had all the training, and he was so lovely. His whole point of view was, this is an energy you're calling on, and this is a kind of praying. So if you're sitting there counting, instead of connecting through your heart and through your love to the greater energy that you're calling on, you're blowing it. You're missing the whole point. So his whole teaching was to get in touch with the reverence and the gratitude and the joy that you're connecting with it with, like, this universal power that's going to up-level you to the next, you know, next place, right? And so so there are several love remedies, I mean, mantras. There are several. And, the rule, quote-unquote rule, is they do always acknowledge Ganesh, which is the ancient representation of the remover of obstacles. We've all seen, like, the elephant god in Hinduism, right? And the belief is that before you do anything, you always want to acknowledge him, and you always want to say, hey, can you, like, get any obstacle out of my path, please, right? So no matter what you're praying for, whether it's love or money or health or a new car or whatever, you want to ask for his blessing first. So the supposedly the favorite mantra to Ganesh. And by the way, I'm going to give you guys a bunch of information that's going to sort of get it's a lot. So the good news is I have all of this written down, and everybody can go get it in writing too. So I just wanted to say that. So if
we're
going to
actually,
like,
just. Everyone, we're sending you tomorrow a recording of this and a link to where you can go and access all the materials.
Yay! And that way, they don't have to frantically write it down right now, because everything they're saying they're going to get. But Ganesh's favorite mantra is Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. And you can just say this, like, 3 times. Just Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. So you're just acknowledging the gatekeeper, basically. And then he opens the gate for you, and then you can do the mantras for love. Now, you can do these. What I love about mantras is this isn't like, you don't have to sit in the lotus position with your eyes closed. I used to do them walking the dog, okay? Like, before I married and found my love, right? I used to do it while exercising, while driving, while cleaning the house. You know, what I loved about Thomas Ashley Ferrand, he was just so positive. He just said, just do it. However you can do it, right? And you can sing it like I just did, or you can speak it, or you can think it. Apparently, it is every bit as powerful just to think it. And the other thing that's so wonderful today is we have YouTube. There are so many incredible videos of these on YouTube and so many free audios on YouTube that are absolutely incredible with tons of music and singers. And so anyway, they can just go to YouTube too. But the mantra for finding the ideal other, how gorgeous is that, right? Finding the ideal other. Since most of your callers are women, I'll tell you the one when seeking a man. And then if any of your women are seeking women or any of the men are seeking women, I'll give you that one too. But we'll start with the one for when seeking a man. It's Sat Patim Dehi Parameshwara. Sat Patim Dehi Parameshwara. Sat Patim Dehi Parameshwara. Sat Patim Dehi Parameshwara. Now, what happens, Catherine, after a while, like even just singing the Ganesha one three times, I got all happy. It has this really calming effect, and you just get lost in it. It's so great. So even if this is all hogwash, the power, it becomes meditative, right? It's very calming and soothing. And you can probably
Let me ask a question.
Yes.
If people wanted to find that on YouTube, what would they put in? Would you have to know the name of it, Satim?
I've been recently doing healing mantras for health stuff because I have some boring health stuff going on, which is totally fine and no big deal, and I won't bore you all with it. So I just went to YouTube and did healing mantras, right? But I'm at YouTube right now. I should have done this for you all. I just went to YouTube and typed in love mantras, and 7 million came up. You know, like there's one here, mantra to attract all forms of love, and it's this woman that I really like, and hers are called Sanskrit mantras, same idea. So, truthfully, I think here's the good news. All of this, truthfully, these are all aspects of the divine. All of these mantras are calling on different aspects of the divine. Any aspect of the divine, they're going to know your heart. They're going to know your intention. You're going to raise your frequency no matter what. You can be a woman accidentally chanting for a woman, and you'll get your dream man, okay? Like, seriously, the divine knows what it's doing.
You can't mess it up. Don't win that another one.
You know, truthfully, I don't think you can. I really don't. I have full faith
stuff.
I really do.
Full
faith.
Very exciting.
So that's the When Seeking a Man, and because I said I would do it, I'll sing the When Seeking a Woman one. It's Om Shrim Shriye Namaha. Om Shrim Shriye Namaha. Om is Om, of course. It's considered the sound of all, right? It's considered the sound of the universe. I don't know who decided this, but it's a very big deal. We've all heard it in yoga classes, right? Whenever you say Shri, it's sort of like a salutation or a greeting to something great. Like if you were, you know, if you met a teacher in India, you would say, "Oh, Shri Guru." It's sort of, you know, it's a reverent thing to say. And then Namaha is essentially like saying hail, you know. But Om Shrim Shriye Namaha is for when seeking a woman. And then, you know, because I'm a Vedic astrologer, we actually believe that the planets and the sun and the moon have a frequency. And so you can also just chant to the planet Venus, which is the planet of love and marriage. It's also the planet of sexual pleasure and sensuality and luxuries. So if you're trying to call in a partner who's super hot and has a big, beautiful house and feeds you chocolate, Venus has you covered, right? And this is the one I really used to do for the most part because I, you know, I'm in love with the planets because I'm an astrologer. So Venus is the name for Venus, and it's so interesting because this is so similar to the name for sugar in French, right? The name for Venus is Shukra, and when you chant to a being or an aspect of the divine or a planet, you always add Aya at the end. And so, you know, a lot of people have heard Om Namah Shivaya. You know, you always add Aya at the end. So when you chant to Venus, it's Om. Again, you're basically saying, like, universal energy, I'm calling on you. Namah, which again is like saying hail. And then Shukraya is Venus. So it's Om Namah Shukraya. And I'll sing it just because this is how to really ramp up your energy and hypnotize yourself, and you'll just feel so great is to sing it. And it's Om Namah Shukraya, and it's Om Namah Shukraya. Okay, I'm so blissed out now. I don't think I can talk anymore.
It's so beautiful. Thank you for that. It's been so long since I've heard an Indian mantra. It's so beautiful to listen to, Carol.
Yeah, they really are. And, you know, that's an ancient tune, too. That's like, you hear that at ashrams and stuff. I did not write that. And something about the tune, it just, wow, you just go to another place. It's just really groovy.
That's beautiful.
Now, the next thing that we do for remedies is spiritual ceremonies. And you and I have done this before. This is when you go actually to a temple, or you have a temple if you don't live near one. You have one perform one for you long distance. And so these are called yagyas or pujas. A puja always involves fire, and they're performed by Hindu priests at Hindu temples, and it apparently doesn't matter if you're present or not, because this is, again, this is just an energy thing, so you just give them your name. What I love, though, about going in person is it's like a sociological thing. It's like an anthropology expedition. You're like watching something that's been done the same way for thousands of years. So it's imbued with all this energy. It's so cool. And sometimes you need to bring things such as flowers or fruit or incense, and they'll give you instructions. You and I are here in Southern California, and there's a beautiful place in Malibu Canyon called the Hindu Temple Society, and then there's another one in Flushing, New York. Those are the main two that I know of. And like I said, they will do them for you long distance. Now, there's places, of course, in India that will do these too, and some places do ceremonies for extremely expensive, but what they then do is they feed a lot of people. So you're getting a ceremony and you're feeding a lot of people, which, hey, that's really good karma, right, to feed a lot of people. But you also don't have to spend a lot of money. The ones in the U.S. are always under $200, and a simple ceremony can be like $35. And you can have them done for all kinds of stuff. for love specifically, you can have them done for Venus or Jupiter, which is the planet of husbands, or you can have them done for Lakshmi, who is the Hindu goddess of abundance, and love is under her purview because love is a kind of abundance, right? And it's also hoped that your partner will help you have a more abundant life by sharing in your burdens and helping bring you support and assistance and all of that. So, yeah. So, and I have so many.
But these are the blessing ceremonies, and you're saying that people can actually create their own. How would somebody create a blessing ceremony?
No, you actually can contact one of these temples and ask them.
Oh, okay. So it's asking them. So you can contact a temple and you can ask them to engage this for you. And do they tell you the time that they're doing it? They're going to set a time so you know, and you can be in meditation with them during that time.
Exactly.
Oh, beautiful. Okay,
Right. And, you know, I've had some amazing stories. One of my favorite stories is I rescued the cat of a woman who ran the astrology school that I went to. She had a stroke, and she had this beautiful orange tabby, Freddie, and she was taken out of her home to live with her son, and her son didn't want Freddie. So Freddie was going to go to the pound. So I raced over and took Freddie home as my, you know, kind of offering to this woman who I was so grateful to, because she ran the school for years and she organized all these incredible teachers and all these incredible trainings, and everything was practically free. It was $6 a class, and I went there for 12 years. You know, like I was so fortunate. I was so fortunate, and, you know, now everything's online and it's, you know, so much more expensive, and it's just not the same. And so I was so happy to do this for her, and I'm a crazy cat lady, and I loved Freddie. And next thing you know, Freddie escaped and disappeared. Like within 2 days, Freddie was gone, and I was so devastated. I thought, oh my God, I felt like I had lost somebody's child, right? And I spent 3 weeks losing my mind, going to the pound, staking out neighborhoods, hanging flyers, like just frantic. And finally, I called the Hindu temple, and I said, will you please do a ceremony to Mercury, the planet of animals and pets, right? And I paid, like, the $35, and they laughed at me. The priest said they had never heard of somebody doing this for a pet. And I told them it was missing, and I wanted Freddie to come back. And do you know, the next day, somebody found Freddie. I mean, it was just like,
oh, so my.
And I have so many stories like that. I have so many stories. And so I'm a huge believer. And, you know, my feeling with all this kind of stuff is, who cares why it works? Who cares if it works? Just suspend your disbelief and give things a try. And you, if nothing else, it's you demonstrating to yourself and the universe, the powers that be, you know, it's you taking that stand, right? And you know how powerful that is. You know from your work, right? So that's the next one. Now, there is a ceremony you can do for yourself. My favorite ceremony that you can do on your own isn't actually like a calling in kind of ceremony. It's a breaking the attachments of the past ritual. And this one I really love, because so often we hear from people that are still in love with someone from the past or still in regret and pain and shame about the past. They're still waiting for someone who's no longer in their life to come back. You know, you and I hear that all the time, right? That there's this.
Absolutely.
And I love the work that you do on that, where you help people uncover the promises they've made and the commitments that they still are bound by that are no longer.
Yeah.
I absolutely love.
Carol, you're so dear. Carol read the whole Conscious Uncoupling book cover to cover.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you so much.
You know, and we've talked about this stuff, and oh my gosh, I just love, 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 because of course we've all had that, right? We all told our first love at the junior high dance that we'd never love anyone as much as they was. We love them.
Right, of course. And meant it with every cell in our body.
Yes, and so then we wonder why we can't love anybody as much, right? So there's this incredible ritual. Now, I was taught this by a Sikh gentleman named Guru Singh, who's a very big deal here in L.A., and he taught me this because when my husband and I broke up before we were married, years before we were married, we broke up after three kind of rocky years because I was young and stupid and had no relationship skills. I was devastated. I could not get over it. And I was doing something so many of us do, which is I was still completely psychically connected to him. And I was having dreams about who he was with and where he was going and what he was doing that were accurate. I saw him camping when he went camping. And I had never known him to camp. I didn't even know the man could camp, right? And I saw him, I dreamt about him camping one weekend. On a weekend, he went camping. I dreamt about him with a woman who he very quickly got involved with. I saw what she looked like. I mean, I was losing my mind. And I just couldn't get over it. And so I went and saw Guru Singh, and he said, you have given him a piece of your soul, and you actually have to get your soul back. And he said that when we sleep with men as women, we create this etheric attachment, and that men can draw from our energy for 7 years. Okay. Now, I don't know if that's true. I have no way to prove it. I have no idea. But I do find it fascinating that when I was in college and I studied anthropology as part of my studies, all the great, you know, indigenous cultures all over the world believe in this giving a piece of your soul thing to loved ones when you lose them or they die or they leave you, and then you are depleted. And they all have, what shamans all over the world who have never been in touch with each other and have never called each other on the phone or sent each other an email, right? What shamans all over the world do is this thing called soul retrieval. So Guru Singh told me how to do my own soul retrieval. Want to know?
Yes, ma'am. We're on the edge of our seat. Nobody
awesome.
Here wants to be without their soul with someone sucking on their energy for 7 years, I promise you.
No kidding. And, you know, and he said to me, there's a reason you're not getting over it, and he's fine, and he's off with other women having a great time, and you're miserable. It's because you're still with him. He's got you and her. Like, he's fine. He doesn't miss you because he's still got you. Like, you've got to get your energy back. Only then can he miss you, and only then can you feel strong again. Like, I was so motivated, right? So he said, okay, this is going to sound nuts, so stay with me, right? He said, go get a piece of black onyx, the stone, and a small enough, smooth enough, flat enough piece that you can wear it in your pants, okay? And he said, and when you menstruate, and by the way, if you don't menstruate, that's totally fine. And for the men listening, you can do this too, right? And they don't menstruate. But you want to wear it under your root chakra, which for, you know, women, it's like under the vagina, right? And for men,
right,
it's between the family jewels and the back door, right? So you want to wrap your piece of onyx in black fabric. I'm sorry. My old comedian improv self comes out when I have these conversations. But yeah, you want to wrap it in black fabric, and you women think like, oh my gosh, do I have to bleed on the thing? No. It's energy, right? You can wear it under your tampon, under your pad, whatever. You're not getting it bloody. You're just wearing it at that time, if that's still a cycle you have, or if, you know, you still have an ovaries and a uterus, right? And you wear it throughout your cycle. Now, if you don't cycle, you want to wear it for, you know, like a week. And then at the end of your cycle or the end of that week, you want to take that black onyx and you want to bury it in the ground. And what it has done is it has absorbed the etheric attachment between you and past lovers. And it's put it into the stone, and then you put it into the earth. Because if you just then put it by your bed, well, then they jump right back in you, supposedly. I mean, who knows, right? I have no idea how any of this stuff works. All I know is that I have had so many incredible stories from women doing this, and they have had so many beautiful animals show up, and, like, frogs jump on their, you know, on the buried site, and So for me, all the dreams stopped. All the crying stopped. I felt so much better. Mm-hmm. I got my power back. It was incredible. So, and again, maybe it was all the power of suggestion. I didn't care. I felt better, right? So you can get Onyx at, you know, New Age bookstores, at rock shops, online. You know, you just need, I used one like the size of a quarter. And actually what's cool is I got one that was actually carved into a heart, which I thought was even more brilliant. So it doesn't have to be raw. It can be carved or not, whatever you want to do. But I've had story after story after story from people where they feel better. And, you know, just the power of rituals. Again, you're taking a stand to move on. And maybe even if it's just that, you know, I decided to break my attachment. And anyway, it's very cool. Now, this brings us to another topic of remedies, and I don't know if I'm, like, going over, so you can shut me down anytime, Catherine. But
I think we're all really with you, Kara. We're not about to shut you down. Go
so
for it.
So another topic of remedies, and this is so fun. I've never talked about this stuff, so thank you. This is a blast for me. And a lot of people have heard of this, is gemstones. And the idea that wearing certain gemstones will attract to you certain things. Now, this is an enormously controversial area of remedies. There is so much disagreement on this stuff. And there are people that also benefit financially from telling you to do this, right? They then turn around and sell you a $5,000 emerald, right? So this, you got to be a little careful with this one. You know, it's like the gypsy trick when you see the $5 sign on the place that says psychic readings, and you walk in and you pay your $5 and you get an incredible reading that's so true and they know everything about you. And then they say, you have a curse. And I have to remove it. And for the low, low price of $10,000, OG and your favorite sweater, I'll remove the curse. I can't tell you how many people have fallen for that. That's an old gypsy curse. Well, gemstones can get into that too. So be careful with this one. I am so fortunate. I have had the greatest mentors possible. And one of my mentors actually lived with a jeweler and tested out the gemstone theories. In Vedic astrology, there's actually nothing written about this. All the gemstone sort of quote-unquote, like, you know, guidelines are from other kinds of astrology, like Tajika astrology, Persian astrology, and there's all these theories. But if you read the classic Vedic astrology books, they do say things like a diamond will increase your abundance. They do say things like that, but they don't in any way correspond it to your chart. They don't in any way say, if you have Venus in the eighth house, wear a diamond. They don't say that, but if you go to astrologers, tons of them will say that stuff. And then there's tons of disagreement. So one camp of astrologers will say, oh, there's this weak thing in your chart and you want to wear the gem associated with that planet because it will strengthen it. Whereas another camp will say, oh, no, if you wear the stone of a weak planet in your chart, it will bring more bad things to you that weak planet is indicate. Like, so it makes you just go, well, what do I do? You know, like, what the heck do I do? So I was very, very fortunate in that one of my teachers actually tested this because he lived with a jeweler. And what he said is, in his experience, you can't change or alter your destiny with gemstones, but you can definitely create improvement. And his favorite gem for everybody is blue sapphire. Now, blue sapphire is associated with Saturn, and Saturn is the thing that causes obstacles of all kinds. So when it comes to love, Saturn doesn't care about love. Saturn creates loneliness, depression. When we're in big cycles of Saturn, which I talk about a lot, when Saturn's having a big say in your chart, through by being in the sign in the sky where you have the sun or the moon or the rising sign, oftentimes this is when we feel the most thwarted in love or the most alone. and we start to feel like, you know, it's never going to happen. We get the most hopeless. Now, this isn't all the time, but this is commonly when people turn to somebody like me. And so one of the camps that disagrees with everybody else believes, oh, no, 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 you never want to wear a Saturn stone. If you wear a Saturn stone, you're going to increase the power of Saturn. Well, what my teacher Ernst Wilhelm found, who's one of the biggest brains in the world, let alone the field, is that wearing blue sapphire seemed to relieve obstacles for people, especially in their health. So, you know, so many people feel thwarted in love because of health. I have some of my dearest friends have chronic fatigue. Some of my dearest friends have, you know, terrible STDs that they can never cure. You know, there are so many herpes nuns in the world, right? There are so many people that don't date because of physical stuff like this. You know, Epstein-Barr. I had a friend that was in a chronic fatigue support group, and she said everybody was single because nobody had the energy to date, right?
Wow.
So what he found is it's not that it directly brought people love. It's just that it helped remove the health problems that can create obstacles to love, and it helped create more positivity around your emotions. So it relieved depression, he found. It helped people sleep. Now, the thing about modern gems is oftentimes they've been fired. They've been dyed. They've been heated. This tends to supposedly upset its frequency, if you will. So you actually want ones that haven't been dyed or fired. We want them, ones that haven't been heated. And, you know, this may lead to all sorts of questions like, what about crystals and what about, you know, beads? And my understanding is it's the color, and it's if it touches your skin or it's open in the back, like if it's on a ring and it has a bezel, or it's in a necklace and it has a bezel that's open in the back, you want it so that the sunlight can reflect through it and it can then touch your skin. And you know, this is something to play with and to try for yourself. If you put on something and you don't feel good, trust that. Trust how you feel. The Wen gemstone, I will say, I never recommend, and I've seen cause havoc on people, is red coral. Red coral is associated with Mars. And unless you're like a really mild-mannered, passive, kind of fear-based person, you don't want to stimulate Mars. Stimulating Mars can make you more angry, can make you more aggressive, can make you argue. It's funny. I had a client, and they went and saw a Vedic gemologist who recommended that the woman wear this beautiful red coral necklace. She wore it all the time thinking it was a remedy, and they started fighting all the time. And they came to me, and I was like, oh, my God, take this thing off. So anyway, but so supposedly the best gem is blue sapphire. Now, a secondary, like less precious, less expensive gem for Saturn is supposedly amethyst. So you can get amethyst beads, you can get amethyst whatever. But again, you want to make sure it hasn't been dyed or altered or fired if you can. And then a lot of people seem to feel benefit from pearls, especially fresh water pearls. I wear them all the time. I've heard beautiful stories. Pearls are associated with the moon, and the moon is our emotions. So the moon, you know, doing things that help bring your moon energy more into balance can help you know your feelings more. It can help calm your feelings more. I've heard a lot of beautiful things about people working with pearls. But this is the kind of thing that you do want to play with and experiment with. And I have to say, my experience is super limited. So, but I did want to warn everyone, birthstones, like, oh, I'm January, so I'm garnet, or I'm April, so I'm diamond, that's just the jewelry business. That's just like De Beers and, you know, that's the jewelry stores all kind of came up with that. And so don't worry. And, you know, there are Bible quotes, various Roman texts, Tibetan customs that talk about gems associated with months, but it's changed a million times. It's been like a big game of telephone. So don't think you have to run out and spend thousands of dollars and go get your birthstone.
So it sounds like It sounds like, Carol, that the gemstones that you're talking about are things to kind of help you to deal with certain obstacles that might be in your way. Am I catching that? I'm not hearing any direct where this to attract love kind of gemstone.
No, you know, what Ernst found in having lots and lots of people wear gems and wear them for weeks and see what happened is they did help health problems. So, and especially blue sapphire or amethyst. And, you know, it's so interesting that the boring thing I wasn't going to talk about that I've had has been like an irritation to my skin that's been going on for a while. And and it was so crazy. I've been wearing this absolutely beautiful red ring. It's not red coral, but it's some kind of like red citrine or red. I don't know what it was. A client gave it to me. It's this beautiful, huge stone that's red. And it was in this gorgeous bezel, and I was driving one day, and I looked at it, and I went, oh, I'm wearing a red stone, and I'm having irritated skin, because red is Mars, and Mars is an irritant. And I was like, I'm an idiot, right? So I took it off. So the stones are really more for health, and health is involved in love.
Well, your skin get better when you took the ring off?
Well, it's been so recent, and it's been a chronic skin thing, so not yet. But I
all right. Well, we're waiting with bated breath.
I hope
report.
So. But I had to laugh. I had to laugh. I was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm not doing what
oh
I know
God.
To do."
All right.
Yeah.
So, Carol. So, what is the number one way that everyone here can change their karma? In life, when some people feel like they're, you know, really working hard to change that karma, but what, from your perspective, what's the number one way?
Well, you know,
according to Buddha, actually, it's
I was
not
just
even
gonna
according
say,
to you.
I'll quote the Buddha on this because I am not anywhere near his level, right? So, the Buddha, who people often, and I was the same before I was educated, mistakenly think the Buddha was Chinese. The Buddha was Indian, and he was born in India, and he was born at a time when everybody was doing all these, you know, constant rituals and practices, and he didn't like that people felt that the only way they could connect with God or something greater than themselves was to do all these what are called tapas, like, and it's not like getting little plates of food. It's like doing these austerities, doing these rigorous, rule-based, rigorous things. He said, if you want to change your karma and have a better life, serve. That's what he said. Serve, give to charity, help others. If you want to have a better love life, help someone else have a better love life. Put people together. Set people up. Be there for friends that are going through heartbreak. You know, be of service. And I love that. And then, you know, in my experience, the next best way is to believe that it's possible and to start surrounding yourself with people that have what you want. You know, start seeking out happy couples. So many people say to me, I don't want to get married. I don't know a single happily married couple. And I'm like, really? I know a ton of happily married people. And I always say the same thing to them, get new friends. Right? Get new friends. Like, you know, they say we're the average of the five people closest to us. So if you want to be in a happy relationship, start seeking people that are and start asking them how they did it and how they met and start believing in love. And, you know, the thing I get the most heartbroken about, Catherine, in the work that we all do is when people show up and they think they know what's possible for themselves, and they tell you, oh, it's too late for me, or, oh, this is all I've ever had, so it's all I'm going to have, or, oh, you know, and they're already in that defeated place, and again, I understand it. It's too painful to keep wanting and hoping, and it feels like this will protect them and keep them from future harm, but it does the opposite. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So that's what I want. So serve and believe. Serve and believe. Believe and serve.
Oh, that's beautiful. I cannot thank you enough. This has been so exceptional. And I know that people are going to want to stay connected with you. So how can people find you?
Oh, well, I would love that. Well, I am grateful to have a whole fun world over at Love is in the Stars. But I have a free book for singles if anyone wants it. If they go to loveisinthestars.com/writeman. I think it's right, man. You know, I haven't said this in a million years. Let me double check. It's either /writeman or right man report. But and then I really, really encourage everybody when Catherine sends out the follow-up tomorrow that they get my my little report. It's called Shazam, and it's got all the remedies, and there's more than what we just did. I really encourage everybody to go get that. And but I have a really fun newsletter, and I have really, really, I have to say, amazing reports and things where they can run their compatibility with people, or they can look at their love timing, or they can look up, you know, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, it's loveisinthestars.com/writemanreport. And if they go there,
well,
they can
I just had to put right man. I didn't have to put the word report.
Oh,
right man.
Oh, good. Okay.
So
oh, you know what? You know what, Catherine? I am so blonde and menopausal.
What?
If they go to writemanreport.com, that's where the free book is.
Oh, that's where it is. Okay, but I got it the other way, too. And by the way,
you
look fabulous in this video.
Oh, my God, you're so
cute. I got the wrong thing. Okay, but you're going to all see how adorable Carol is if you go. Okay. Right man report. What do we do for the men and for the women looking for women? Is this going to help them?
So you know what they can just do? The information is exactly the same. The rules of love are the same for all of us. There is that small percentage of information that is unique to gender. It is gender specific. But honestly, this book is for anybody. Just forgive me and substitute the pronouns.
Okay, good.
But yeah, it's called Becoming the Woman Your Dream Man Wants. And forgive me, men or women that love women. I love men and I love women that love women. So I don't mean to pick a team. You know, I just created offerings for all the people that always called me. In all these years, I guess because astrology is something women are more into, 99.9% of my clients have just been women. And they've been straight women, and I don't know why that is. I love everybody, but so I just created all my offerings for them.
Great.
But yeah, but if they go to writemanreport.com, they can get my free ebook there called "Becoming the Woman Your Dream Man Wants," and it's got a lot of fun advice for singles and things that I wish I had known a lot sooner.
So if somebody does that too, do they just automatically get your emails too? Because Carol, by the way, everyone, Carol writes the most charming emails, really. You should win an award for how engaging and humorous and funny and informative your emails are.
I'm never going to be able to walk out this door, Catherine. Can we do this every day? What are you doing tomorrow? Can we do this tomorrow?
Yeah, we should do that. We should just call each other and tell each other how much we love each other and how great we think we are.
I would love that. Well, I was so blessed. I had such incredible mentors come along, and I spent a good 5 years. All I did was write newsletters, so I'm glad you like them. I poured my heart and soul into them. And so, yes, if they sign up here for the newsletter, they'll get the book, and they can unsubscribe anytime if they don't. If they find it's not their thing, but it's a lot of fun, and I talk about what's going on in the stars, and I talk about celebrities, and I talk about all my favorite love advice, and then I tell a lot of personal stories that are crazy, and I have a great time, and I share a lot of incredible resources.
That's right, and it's all educational and very entertaining.
Thank
you. Don't even realize you're being educated.
Dear.
So, Carol,
yay.
Thank you. This has been so much fun and
yay.
A whole different aspect, a whole different way to be working with the commitment to call in a great love. And this is, I know that people are going to have a lot of fun with this. And to thank you for sharing your wisdom. I couldn't believe you said that this was the first time you ever put it together like this. This is fabulous. This is
amazing. I don't usually talk about this, and it's so near and dear to my heart, and I did everything that I shared, and every year I go do blessing ceremonies, and I take friends on big birthdays and special occasions, and it's just really... It's really, you know, this is a beautiful whole world of ancient wisdom and information and power. And, you know, truly that's the thing I most want to leave you all with is there are forces so much greater than you. There are things going on so much bigger than you. So if you have a story that you've done something wrong or that you must be screwed up or that, you know, if you don't get love in 49 days, even with someone as incredible as Catherine leading the way, it's just because there's a bigger story unfolding and there's a greater plan. And maybe the person you're meant to be with isn't ready in 49 days. Maybe you haven't done anything wrong. And so take any negative spin on your situation out of it and just trust and call on the divine and stand back and be amazed.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I love you, Catherine,
and
I'm grateful to be with you and your community.
I love you, too. And everyone, we're going to send out the link to Carol's wonderful material tomorrow and the email that is the follow-up, which will also have the recording to this call so you can listen to it again. Thank you, everyone. We love you.
God bless.
Looking forward to being with you soon. Lots of love. Bye-bye.